morning and turn to Ruth chapter 2, if you would please. Ruth chapter 2. Ruth chapter 2. As I was praying about what to preach this morning, I had a couple of different directions that I initially thought, and the Lord directed me to this, I believe for a couple of reasons. One, to share some of how the Lord has worked there in Newfoundland, but also to be an encouragement to all of us of how God works in our lives. Even though we may not see it visibly, we can rest assured that God is at work always in our lives and in our circumstances, and we can trust and rest in His control with that. So Ruth chapter 2, we're going to read just a couple of verses. I'm going to do something that I don't normally do as a pastor and a preacher. I'm going to assume that you know the story of Ruth, because we don't have the time to go through it here. But I will make some comments here. So we're not going to read the entire chapter, but we will deal with most of it in this message, Lord willing. We're actually going to start in Ruth chapter 1 and verse 22. And so let's read from chapter 1, verse 22, and we'll read a few verses into chapter 2. Ruth chapter 1 and verse 22, the Bible says, "So Naomi returned, and Ruth the Moabitess, her daughter-in-law with her, which returned out of the country of Moab, and they came to Bethlehem in the beginning of barley harvest. And Naomi had a kinsman of her husband's, a mighty man of wealth of the family of Elimelech, and his name was Boaz. And Ruth the Moabitess said unto Naomi, Let me now go to the field and glean ears of corn after him in whose sight I shall find grace. And she said unto her, Go, my daughter. And she went and came and gleaned in the field after the reapers, and her hap was to light on a part of the field belonging unto Boaz, who was of the kindred of Elimelech." Skip down to the end of the chapter and look at verse 20. Chapter 2 and verse 20. So Ruth goes into the field of Boaz and begins to glean, and this is after that day has taken place. And verse 20, "Naomi said unto her daughter-in-law, Blessed be he of the Lord, who hath not left off his kindness to the living and to the dead." Now she's describing the Lord there. Blessed, she said, "Blessed be he of the Lord," describing Boaz, who favored Ruth. But then she's describing the Lord, who hath not left off his kindness to the living and to the dead. "And Naomi said unto her, The man is near of kin unto us, and one of our next kinsmen." When we think of how God works in our lives, there are times, if we're honest with ourselves, we don't see God working because it's hidden from us, or because of some other reason that God just has not revealed it to us. But yet, from the story here in Ruth and from other places in the Word of God, we see and we know that God is always at work to bring about His plan, His purposes, and accomplish them for His glory, even though we may not be able to see it. The book of Job is a prime example of that. As Job says, you know, I look on the right hand and He's not there. You know, I go forward and back and, you know, He's not there. I can't see Him around me, but He's at work. He knows the way that I take. And so I'm going to rest in Him, because when I am tried, I'm going to come forth as gold. In the book of Ruth here, if we were to analyze the book, chapter 1 is all about decisions. We see decisions that were made by many members of Elimelech's family. Elimelech, Ruth, Orpah, Naomi, they all made decisions. Chapter 2, if we were to summarize that, would be about God's providence and His work in our circumstances and in our lives. And God is always at work in our circumstances, just as He was with Ruth and Naomi. God providentially works to bring about His plan and purposes. And so what I want us to consider in the few moments that we have this morning is this: that you must learn to recognize God's hand at work in your life and submit to His plan. Because, as we're going to see as we work through it, when we don't, our response will be much like Naomi's at the end of chapter 1. where she became embittered against God because, well, things weren't working out the way that she thought they would, or she had lost what she thought she needed, and she did not see God at work, and she focused on what she wanted. But when we come to the end of chapter 2, as we read in verse 20, we see that Naomi's perspective has changed, and now she says, "Blessed be the Lord who is showing kindness. He's not left us desolate. He's given us a kinsman." Her perspective changed. Why? Because she recognized God's hand at work in the circumstances, the coincidences that took place in Ruth's life. And so I want to walk through this chapter here briefly this morning and see several ways that God works in our lives to accomplish His plan and His purposes. Number one, I want you to see, as we read in chapter 1, verse 22, God works through the timing of events in our life. We read it in chapter 1, verse 22. It's not just extra filler in there, but it's important. As the author of Ruth puts it in here and says that they came back to Bethlehem at the beginning of barley harvest. That was no coincidence. That was God's hand at work bringing them back at just the right time when they had the need that could only be met by gleaning in the fields and ultimately all that would lead from that. God was at work bringing Ruth and Naomi back to Bethlehem at the beginning of barley harvest. They were in need of food. That was what they needed. God brought them back at that just the right time. I'm sure all of us could look back in our own lives and see God's timing at work in our own lives. You know, as we look back in 2017 when God began to work in our hearts about the field change from Siberia to Newfoundland, it didn't make sense to us on many levels. You know, why, Lord, are you moving us when it seems like we're just, you know, we had gone through the house fire, but we felt like we were just getting into the community there, and then God's moving us away? We did not understand why. But God has allowed us to see a few small glimpses of why and some of His purpose and plan in that and the timing that God has brought about. You see, when God was working in our hearts in 2017, in July of that year, about a field change, that was the same time that Grace Baptist Church in Corner Brook was going through a tumultuous time with the then missionary pastor and his leaving permanently. And that ministry was in need of, you know, leadership, and there was a void there. We didn't know that. We didn't know what was going on. But it wasn't until, you know, later that year when Patrick O'Brien, our co-workers there in Stephenville, when we were talking, he said, "Yeah, this ministry just got left to us. You know, the missionary pastor there left. He's gone. He gave it over to me. Like, we've got two ministries now." And so, you know, we went, and for a while we did both ministries until the Lord led us to move to Corner Brook and take that one over full time. But God's timing was at work. We couldn't see it because, one, we're not omniscient. We don't see all of God's plans, but yet God was at work in that. And we as we look back, we see God's hand at work in the timing of that move. And it's important for us to remember that God is not just in control of what happens in our life, but He is also in control of the when that it happens. And so God's timing is part of His providential hand working in our lives to accomplish His plan and His purposes. And so we need to learn to recognize God's timing in our lives. But I want you to notice number two, God also works through our faith when we step out and follow His plan. Now, verse 2, we read Ruth goes to Naomi and says, "Well, let me go into the fields, let me glean so that we can have our needs met for food." Well, you know, in the Old Testament, God made provision for the poor and the needy, the orphans, and all of those, the widows, to have their basic need of food met by telling the landowners, the farmers, not to reap the corners of the field, and then whatever fell, they were to leave there so that the poor could come by and glean and have their need of food met. That was God's plan. God had already made provision for Ruth and Naomi, but understand, it took a step of faith for Ruth to say, "Okay, God said it's there, I'm going to go and do it." And because of that, we know how God worked through her going into the field and who she met and how God brought all that about. And we'll get to that in just a minute, so I don't get ahead of myself. But God was working through her faith. It was faith to follow God's plan. You see, God's provision does not relieve us of our own personal responsibility of obedience. God provides, God makes the plan, but it is still up to us in faith to obey what He says and to follow that plan. Ruth did that here in this, this point in her life. She took God at His word and acted on it. And that's what it means to live by faith. When you and I take God's word and say, God, this is what you've said. This is your plan as I understand it. This is what you want from me. Okay, I'm going to obey and do it. That is living by faith. It's not some mystical, weird thing that we just stumble through. No, faith is obedience to God's word, taking Him at His word. Ruth did that, and God blessed them and began to work through that, as we'll see as we work through this chapter here. I believe it's D.L. Moody that's credited with this saying, and it's a common one here. But we need to understand that he said, faith honors God, and so God always honors faith. And so when we by faith do what God says we should do, trusting Him to do what He said He would do, then God works through our lives to bring about His purposes and His plans for us. But notice as we continue in this chapter, not only does God work through the timing of events, not only does He work through our faith when we follow His plan, but notice He also works in the quote-unquote coincidences of life. Notice verse 3, where it says, "And she went, Ruth, and came and gleaned in the field after the reapers, and her hap was to light on a part of the field belonging unto Boaz, who was of the kindred of Elimelech." Now that word hap there is meaning a chance occurrence, is what we would say. You know, lucky coincidence, we would put it in our modern terms here. But understand, there are no coincidences with God. And when the author of the book of Ruth here, and we know that's the Holy Spirit, but the human author, God directed him to use these words, he used them to point out the fact that there was no human intent involved, no human foreknowledge about whose field she was going into. So for Boaz and Ruth, yes, it was accident. It was just happen chance. But for God, it wasn't. He was leading in even those coincidences of life. I want you to think for a moment about your life and the specific instances that brought you to the place of salvation in your own life. And as you look back, do you see what some may term as coincidences, the circumstances that God used to bring you to the place where you realized that you were a lost sinner in need of a Savior? Some may look at that and say, yep, coincidence. That just happened. Yep, they were there, right place, right time. No, God was at work. Those of you who call this church your home, how did God direct you to this church and to be a part of it? It was no coincidence. I could share stories of those in our church there back at Grace, there in New Hope. There was one man who's a part of our church now, but it all began with a need for winter tires and a post on Facebook Marketplace. And he met with Patrick O'Brien at the time, who was selling them, and was invited to church, and he came. He accepted Christ through camp that next year, was baptized, and he was a charter member of our church. Others, again, as we shared with Daniel and Debbie, personal invitations to come to church. God works in many different ways. And understand that there are no coincidences when it comes to the circumstances that God directs in our life, even though they may seem that way to us. And so God works through those circumstances of life. But notice with me, number 4, as we continue through this passage here, God works His plan and His purposes through the people that we meet. Verse 4 says, "And behold, Boaz came from Bethlehem and said unto the reapers, The Lord be with you. And they answered him, The Lord bless thee. Then said Boaz unto his servant that was set over the reapers, Whose damsel is this? And the servant that was set over the reapers answered and said, It is the Moabitish damsel that came back with Naomi out of the country of Moab. And she said, I pray you, let me glean and gather after the reapers among the sheaves." Again, we could go back, and this could tie in with the previous point. It was no coincidence that Boaz happened to come to the field at just the right time when Ruth was there and notice her and ask about her. But notice God worked through Ruth's meeting with Boaz at that point. Again, we don't have the time this morning to go through it, but as you read through this chapter, you see how Boaz takes a special interest in her and begins to make sure that her needs are met above and beyond what would normally be required for a landowner to take care of the poor. He wasn't required by God to give extra and make sure that she had lunch that day as she worked in the field, but yet he gave her these extra blessings and even gave her extra to take home and to provide. And so God worked through leading Ruth and Boaz to meet at that exact moment. God works through the people that we meet. The people that he brings across our path are for a reason. Sometimes God brings people across our path for us to be a blessing to them, sometimes for them to be a blessing to us. But we need to be alert to that fact, that God uses people to accomplish his purposes here on this earth. I'm reminded of the story, the illustration of the man who was stranded on an island. Stranded with no way around, no food, no water, no nothing, and he prays like, God, save me from this island. God, deliver me, please. Well, a couple days go by and a boat comes along and they send out the life raft to him and say, here, you know, come on, we're here to save you. He's like, no, I'm waiting on God. God's going to deliver me. And so the boat goes on. A couple days go by and a submarine, same thing. See him. And he says, nope, I'm waiting on God. You go. God's going to deliver me. Finally, an airplane, a helicopter come through. They see him, send out rescuers. Like, no, I'm waiting on God to deliver me. Well, by this point, he's dead. And so he stands before God. He says, God, where were you? I was trusting in you to deliver me. Why didn't you save me? He says, I sent you a boat. I sent you a submarine. I sent you a helicopter. I sent you these people, and you refused them. You ignored them. And you know, that's a humorous story, but how many times do we do the same where we say, no, God, I expect you to do something a certain way. And God says, no, I'm sending you this person to do this, or I'm sending you this. God works through the people that we meet to accomplish his plan and purposes. Notice number five as we continue, and then we'll be almost done here. Number five, God works also through our testimony for him. Our testimony and our reputation are two of the most valuable things that we have in front of a lost world. If we go through, we're not going to read the entire story here, but look, if you would, here in verse 11, chapter 2, verse 11. Boaz is continuing to interact with Ruth here, and he says, Ruth basically in verse 10 says, why are you showing me all this favor? Why are you being so kind and so generous? And in verse 11, Boaz says, it hath fully been showed me all that thou hast done unto thy mother-in-law since the death of thine husband, and how thou hast left thy father and thy mother, and the land of thy nativity, and art come unto a people which thou knewest not heretofore. The Lord recompense thy work, and a full reward be given thee of the Lord God of Israel, under whose wings thou art come to trust. I believe from these verses we see that Boaz's care for Ruth was largely influenced by her testimony and her reputation, because in chapter 3 we see that Boaz says that she is a virtuous woman and all the town of Bethlehem knows it. Would Boaz's response have been the same to Ruth if she had had a different type of testimony and character? Probably not. We can't say for sure, but most likely not. But because of Ruth's testimony and her godly character, God worked through that for her to find favor with Boaz and Boaz to, again, work and meet her needs there. And we know, ultimately, become her husband and her to become a part of the nation of Israel, the line of Christ, as a result. But God works through our testimony. God works through our reputation. And we have seen that, again, in our ministry there in Corner Brook. The reason we are able to do the Family Fun Day carnivals, the different community events, is because a few years back, Katie saw that cruise ships were coming in, said, we need to set up a booth. So contacted the city. They said, sure, you can do that. And so we set it up, and of course, Katie does a phenomenal job always of doing the decorations and getting things set, and it just looked very sharp and just really, really top-notch. And the community organizer noticed that. And as a result, she said, I've come to you first for some of these things that she wants done. Again, that's not for us. That's not our glory, but it's God's glory that we can reflect Christ to the community in that way, and he uses that to open doors that probably otherwise would not have been opened. But understand that if God works through a good testimony, then the opposite can also be true, that we can hinder God's working through us because of a poor testimony and because of poor character. And so it's important for us to make sure that our testimony before the world around us is one that reflects Christ, because God will use that to work through him. Then notice lastly with me, and then we'll be done. Verse 17 through 23, we won't read the entire passage here, but verse 17 says that Ruth gleaned in the field the entire day. She beat out an ephah of barley, which would have been about a month's wages at that time, the equivalent of that. Verse 23 says that she continued to glean until the end of barley harvest and of wheat harvest. So two harvests she kept in the field and was gleaning and gathering. Now, what I want you to see with this is this. Lastly, God works through our faithful obedience to his will. It would have been easy for Ruth on that first day where she gleaned so much, like, okay, we got enough for a month. I don't need to go back out into the field. We're good. But the language here makes it sound like she was in there repeatedly, day after day, working, doing what she knew she needed to do at that point, and then God worked through that. Somebody said recently, and I can't remember if it was at camp, if it was recently somewhere else, but I heard it recently, and it was a good reminder that the will of God is not future. The will of God is simply obeying what I know he wants me to do today. And as I do that day by day by day by day, I am in the perfect center of God's will each day, and he leads and directs in that way. And so God works in our lives in this way. And as we look at this chapter, we could spend more time in this, but I want to be done with this. The point is that God is always at work even when we can't see it. And many times it simply requires faithful obedience to do what we know God wants us to do right now. And we may not see his working around us and what he's doing behind the scenes and how he's bringing things about to accomplish his plan and purposes. But when we rest in his control and we trust him for his timing and we follow in faithful obedience, God will bring the results in his time according to his plan and for his glory. And so my desire for us as we consider this chapter is this: to learn to recognize God's hand at work around us. Even though we may not see it, look for it, because it's there. It's there at work in your own life. It's there at work here in Emmanuel Baptist Church. It's there at work in Corner Brook, Newfoundland. Rest in God's control and in his timing, and trust him to accomplish his plan and purposes. Let's bow for prayer. Father, as we consider these truths from the book of Ruth, I ask that you would help each one of us, Lord, to not grow impatient in our waiting for you, but to learn to recognize your hand at work and to trust you to accomplish your will and your purposes even when we can't see it. Use your word, Lord, to minister to our hearts today, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Pastor.